tonight. We appreciate home folks. It's good to see you here. And I looked at the board, and I wondered where you went. But I'm glad to see you tonight. Praise God. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter number 10. We're going to read a little lengthy reading, but to hold on. It's not the way I usually do things, but I want you to get the background setting. So we'll start with verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he had looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the house to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake again unto him the second time, What God has cleansed, thou that call thou not thou common. What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. If the Lord would help me and you would give me your help, I'd like to preach to you tonight on supply and demand. Supply and demand. Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless us as we stand behind this sacred desk. We may feed the flock of God, encourage their hearts, and strengthen their grip on grace. Stand by us. We will thank you for everything that you do for us tonight. In Jesus' name, the church said, Amen. I want to draw your attention to verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And then from verse 19 and 20, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Supply and demand. Let's have a look right here at this illuminating relationship between these two passages. I want to draw your attention to them, for they're found in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and that's the fifth book in the New Testament. It's called the Acts. Seeing men, and while Peter was pondering the vision. The first passage that you read is this. God is speaking to a man who needs a message. Verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. God is speaking to a man who needs a message. The second passage, he is speaking to a man who has a message. The first passage is a man who is needing a message. The second passage is a man who has a message. Somehow the two must be brought together. Can anyone say amen? This is it. Cornelius' story is one of those wonderful stories of how grace gets into the heart of a man and he doesn't even know how it gets there. All of a sudden, someone somewhere had said a word to Cornelius that had made his life turn around. He was a Roman soldier, apparently a very wealthy Roman soldier, who had money to give away because he gave it alms, and he built, as it said here, by those men who would ask Peter to come down, and they would say that they come unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, he was the one. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feared God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee and tonight into his house and to hear words of thee. So he was a great officer, and yet somewhere he had been brought into an experience that he didn't understand. And therefore he needed a message. Where would he find a message? That angel that came to him could have preached, but it wasn't. For God does not use angels now to preach. Not when there is a preacher within 30 miles of Cornelius' house. You see, he had become a man of deep devotion. He had become prayerful. He had become benevolent and was hungry for the truth. In prayer, one day was caught up in a vision. The voice directed him to send for the Apostle Peter. At Joppa, 30 miles distance, Peter was being prepared by a summons that he was about to receive. God had put the hunger in Cornelius' heart, and now God was preparing the heart of Peter to go to preach to Cornelius. If you don't see anything else out of this message, look at the handiwork of God. Here are just two men. They don't even know they're in the same world. But God is moving on the heart of one, and he's moving on the heart of another man, for one needs a message, and God has a messenger. But the difference is that Peter was a Jew, and it was not lawful for Jews to fellowship with Gentiles. So God was preparing the heart of Peter to deliver a message to the household of a Gentile. And Peter's heart had to be prepared, or Peter wouldn't have went. So you see the grace of God. 30 miles distance, Peter is being prepared for a summons that he's about to receive. He's already come a great ways, but he's not ready for this. Simon Peter was of the circumcision, and that was a horrible, horrible thing to overcome. It was going to be his making or breaking. For Peter to mingle among the Gentiles was quite an obstacle to overcome. But God is preparing his heart. While those men are going that 30 miles, God works on Peter's heart. We get inside of the vision, and we understand now that God let down that sheet of unclean things to tell Peter one message. If I have cleansed it, don't call it common or unclean. He had to do this three times. He would pull the thing up, let it down. Peter would look at it. He didn't get it. Pull it up, let it down. Peter looked at it, didn't get it. And at the end of it, you will see that while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, he still did not get it. But finally, the knock on the door brought Peter to his position. For the Spirit said, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So you see the opposition here that Peter must overcome. All of his tradition, all of his past life, everything that he has been raised now is going to have to lay it down in order to become a messenger to a man who needs a message. Isn't it wonderful that the Spirit of God works? How many can say he works? Amen. Say it out loud. He works. He works. Even when you don't understand what he's doing, he works. Cornelius would have kept on doing what he was doing because it made him feel good. But he wasn't saved. He had a zeal, but he wasn't saved. How many know that you've got to understand there's no other name given under heaven where men must repent and be saved but the name of Jesus. Cornelius hadn't heard that name. He didn't know anything about the gospel. He had found God, and he liked the Jewish religion. But that Jewish religion would have left him unsaved. But God does not want a good man to go to hell. Can anyone say amen? God does not want a good man to go to hell. Especially as good-hearted as Cornelius was. He gave alms. He built sanctuaries for them. He done many great things. And it is there that Peter must learn to overcome his obstacle, and that Cornelius must learn the name of Jesus. The same thing happened with an Ethiopian eunuch that came away from Jerusalem with the book of Isaiah opened, knowing there was more than just what that temple worship had offered. And the Spirit of God moved upon Philip to leave a revival and go to a desert and to stand along the roadside and wait for a chariot to come by. Now that's not the liking of a preacher, just to leave a good revival and go stand and do nothing. But Philip must learn too that obey is to better than sacrifice. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. So Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch gets hooked up. He joins him in the chariot and begins to preach to him what? Jesus. From that scripture in Isaiah, he starts preaching Jesus. And before Philip is through preaching the message to the man who needed a message and was seeking for a message, before they got through, he said, here's water, what does hinder me? He was ready to be converted and baptized and go on his way saved. How many can say that that's exactly the way God is, that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, you'll begin to get my message here and the drift of it after a while, because it'll break in on you. God needs someone with a message to go to somebody who needs a message. God needs somebody to tell the story. Amen. Here, look at it with me. While he was still reflecting on the half-grasped significance of that vision, while he was still doubting, Cornelius' messengers knock on the door. And he is summoned now to take the message and go with these people. He does not go alone. He gets some more Jews, and they go with him. Because these three, apparently, were Gentiles, so Peter gets him some Jews and they go with them. We see the situation here has developed. Right here, look at it. At Caesarea, there was a great urgent need. at Joppa a prepared and appointed supply, at Caesarea a truth seeker, at Joppa a truth bearer. Look again, what Cornelius has not, he could receive from Peter, because Peter has, and what he has, he must share with Cornelius. It's always exemplified in the spiritual world, and we must learn the law of the Spirit, that human and divine, the law of supply and demand is always there. Where there is a need, God is working to supply it. The Apostle Paul said, "And my God shall supply all of your needs by his riches and glory through Jesus Christ." Anyone say amen? Amen. Supply and demand. God is in the business of supply and demand. There's a few fellows that I could bring up here to this podium and let them talk to you about the world's understanding of supply and demand. A man makes a bunch of something. That's the supply, but he needs somebody who wants it, which is demand. Can I get an amen? And that is the whole law of it, supply and demand. We used to live a simpler life, and we didn't have to be dictated by supply and demand. We'd raise our own garden and fatten our own hog and milk our own cow, churn our own butter, amen, slice our own bacon. We didn't need much. Just go every once in a while, and some folks would even raise their own corn and wheat and take it to the mill and have it ground. So they really didn't, the law of supply and demand didn't affect them. But every one of us sitting here tonight is affected by it. If you don't think you're affected by it, pull down here at the corner, look at the price on gas. And the reason they can gouge you for almost $4 a gallon is because of supply and demand.
Right.
Can I get an amen? So it's not that you don't understand what I'm preaching about. You just never have taken it from the natural over into the spiritual. But God deals with you every day in the law of supply and demand. If you're not hungry, you don't get fed. If you're not thirsty, you don't get water. Come on, somebody shout amen. If you don't pray, you don't get answers to prayer. If you don't read your Bible, you get to where you don't even know your Bible. There's a lot of supply and demand. So we must carry it over to the affairs of the kingdom of God. We must look at Christian activity is right there. It is commerce for souls. It is commerce for souls or with souls. We don't deal with gold and oil, copper and brass and silver. We deal with souls. And every soul that I know of has a need. Well, our church would be full if we could get this little law worked out. If we could get to where we get some supply in here, because there's a world out there that has a lot of need. If we could just get to where we could pray and have a bunch of healing available, there'd be sick folks come just to get prayed for. Amen? If we get to where there's conviction in our service, well, there'd be sinners want to come because God would lead them to a soul-saving station. Can I get an amen? This is what we're looking at. This is what we've got to. You know, I derive my spiritual life from the substance that I get from God. I derive it. I have to have grace every day, mercy every day. I have to have help every day. I derive my spiritual life from my commerce with God. But I also get my enrichment from the godly people that I fellowship. Sometimes I know you got a message. I wait for you to give it to me. Sometimes I know you got a smile. It just takes you a while to smile, that smile. Sometimes I know you got a warm pat on the back. It's just waiting on you to meet the demand. How many knows everybody likes a hug? The demand's there. The supply is so short. Amen. You don't get it yet, do you? There has to be a basis of appropriation. How are we going to appropriate? Well, somebody's got to become a distributor as well as a consumer. Somebody's got to become a distributor. You see, I keep whispering this in men's ears. They don't particularly like for me to do it, but I do it anyway. Freely you have received, now freely give. Somebody's got to be a distributor. Not everybody can be a consumer. Oh, you're not listening to me. You must understand that you cannot live a life of a parasite. You cannot always be sucking something from somebody else. There's got to be a time when you start giving. Am I preaching all right? Right there it is. It's a welcome home, Brother Benny, but right there it is. You cannot always be a freeloader. You can't go around with your cup out. You've got to learn to balance your life. There is some days when you've got to give instead of receive. You've got to be the one with the message. Somebody's needing it. Amen. While we was down at Brother Rogers, Brother Norman Smith had asked me when I was down there to pray for his brother Lamar. Lamar was in Vietnam and got there a real dose of that Agent Orange, which has really affected him, and it has affected a lot of men who fought in Vietnam. They sprayed the foliage with that Agent Orange to kill it. They breathed it in, and now they're paying the consequences. So we prayed for Brother Lamar, and the Spirit of the Lord came, and Brother Lamar reacted under the Spirit of God, and I kept my word to Brother Norman. But then you know how the Holy Ghost moves sometimes. While I was talking to them, I just reached up and laid hands on Sister Brenda, and I just prayed for her and then just quit and walked away. Roger said, I asked Roger the next day, I said, Sister Brenda have a need? He said, yes, she did. But she said, he wanted me to pray for her. He said, I was going to have your come. She said, I don't believe that way. Sister Brenda said, I don't believe that way. I see where Rodney gets some of this stuff at. I don't believe that way. She said, if God wants me to be prayed for, God will work it out. And Roger said, when I got her home, I said, and what did you think about that? Well. But then Brother Shanifelt was standing there. He's a big man. Oh, he's a huge man. I can hide behind him. And he was standing there, and the Spirit told me, he said, go pray for him. He has a need. I walked up behind him, just put my hands on his back, and his dad looked up to see his head. Put my hands on his back, and I said, God, meet this need. Meet this need. Meet this need of Brother Shanifelt. Prayed for him and stepped back. He came to me after church had been dismissed. He said, I'd been looking for him. He said, I just didn't know where to find him. But he said, I had been searching for him. You see, there's a supply and demand. The Lord would love to be able to work with us in the law of supply and demand. The demand was Cornelius. The supply was Peter. And while he was working, sending an angel to Cornelius to prepare his heart to receive what God was going to send to him, those words, he not only got there himself, but he filled the house up. Right. He filled it up with his own people. He filled the house up and had a house full for Peter to come, because he knew that God had said, these are words that I'm going to send to you by the Apostle Peter. Amen.
Thank God.
So the supply had to be rousted out of Joppa, 30 miles away. Peter must now walk from Joppa to Cornelius' house. And he did. And he walked in. And he picked up his preaching. And he preached to them Jesus Christ. him crucified, him resurrected. And while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them and baptized every one of them in the Holy Ghost, and they spake in tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost. The Jews were taken aback. Peter didn't know what to think about it. But they had seen that God is not a respecter of person. And I take that and preach to you tonight and tell you, you got a need, God's got a supply. If you're willing to wait, the message will come. If you're willing to wait, the help will come. If you're willing to trust in the demand and supply from God, God will supply all of your needs by His riches in glory. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. No problem too big, God's got a supply. No question too hard, God's got an answer. No distance too great. When Philip got through preaching, the Spirit caught him up and took him miles away in the Spirit. Now, somebody said a man can't fly. It depends on how much Holy Ghost you got. For Peter didn't go flying from Cornelius' house, but Philip went flying from that desert spot. Amen. God didn't put him on a greyhound. He didn't put him on a camel train. He picked him up and put him somewhere else. Well, somebody ought to help me preach tonight. You see, it creates a responsibility that I have no right to shirk. If God could use all of us in this marketing if we would let Him. Don't tell me now that you've got the Holy Ghost and He doesn't do business through you. You've got the Holy Ghost and He doesn't do business at all with you. Then I don't think you've got the Holy Ghost. I think you need to come back and get the real thing. For the real thing will not let you shirk your duty. There may be somebody at your place of work that needs a message. Just a message. Just a handshake. Just a scripture. Just a smile. Somebody that you can touch tomorrow, and God would have been the message from you to them. How many believe the scripture when it said, and God will direct the righteous's feet, that He can direct your going? The steps of a righteous man are ordered. Would you get up in the morning ready to do business? Or do you shut business down and the only time you do business is here at church? Can God open up for you a delivery? Would you be willing to go? Amen. I pastored Wayne Souders. Wayne Souders would tell me, and I've told you the story before about God getting him up at night in the dead of winter. He just bought a new Buick. New Buick. Back then, those were big cars with big trunks. He had just bought one. The Lord told him, said, the widow woman over yonder needs coal. She's out of coal and don't have any money to buy it. Deacon, as we called him, got up, got his clothes on, got his hat on, backed his Buick up to the coal pile, started throwing coal in the trunk. He just piled it in there as much as he could get. Slammed the lid down on that old Buick and went across the ridges over to that widow woman's house, pulled up, knocked on the door and said, I've come with a load of coal for you. And she just started worshiping God, saying, oh, I didn't know how I was going to get any heat. I was about out of coal. There is a demand and there is supply. Wouldn't you like to get in this business? We're getting right down here at Dryden Road on the ground floor. Anybody can get in this business. Some of you look like you don't have anything to invest. But I can tell you, you can get in cheap. All it takes is a little bit of prayer and waiting on the Lord, and God can put you into business. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody you helped followed you to church? Amen. I told you before, the black lady down at Broxton, and when me and Eugene was was in there eating steak, and I passed her in the hallway, and going into the bathroom, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, she needs some money. And he didn't tell me how much, and I didn't have a whole lot. So I gave her what I had when I came back out. She just stuck it down her apron, went in the kitchen, and probably pulled it out of her apron in there. Because no sooner had she got in there, time enough to count it, here she comes swinging back out the door and hugged me right in front of God and everybody and said, I was just praying, Lord, I don't have no food for my children. I don't have no food for my babies, Lord. You've got to help me. And I guess right then and there, supply and demand, hey man, had met the CEO of heaven, and he had decided there's a way to meet that need. Can anyone understand that God would love to use you? You don't have to be a preacher to join this. You don't have to be a preacher to buy into this. You can do it right in your neighborhood. All you've got to do is become soul sensitive. You've got to look at the need and want to help. You've got to look at the person and go beyond the race and the color and the stature and the way they look. Because the devil has sure scarred a lot of people up. Amen. Hasn't he done it? He's took good-looking people and made them ugly with sin. You look at them and you know that that wasn't the way they was raised. You know the way that they look haggard looking, all chopped up, beat up. You know that wasn't the way their mama raised them. But there they are, life wasted in sin. But God still would love to save. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Am I preaching and boring you? I hope I'm not. You see, right here is the business I'd like to open. We need some folks that are exporters of spiritual goods. You see, the Holy Ghost has them all. He's just looking for some place to open up an office. Can he open it up in your life? Doesn't he have faith? Doesn't he have a word of wisdom? Doesn't he have word of knowledge? Doesn't he have prophecies? Can anybody out there shout amen?
Amen.
Doesn't he have healings? Doesn't he have it? But does he have you? He'd love to open an office up in your life. I'm challenging you, Dryden Road. Let's go in business. Let's open this up further than we've ever opened it. Because we have no right to shirk it. We have no right not to get into this business.
Right.
You see, leanness and poverty has come to a lot of people simply because they will not go into business with the Holy Ghost. How many know the Holy Ghost has come to be partners with you?
Yeah.
Anyone raise a hand and say, I'm a partner with the Holy Ghost? And he is the controlling agent. If you're there and you know that you have no right to shirk the duty God has given you, and you've got spiritual goods to export, then you should understand that you have a right to believe that every talent has a place, everyone with a talent has a place to invest it. God didn't give you that talent for you to put it in your pocket or bury it in the earth.
Right.
He told you to invest it.
Right.
And you've got a talent. And God is saying to you, you need to invest that now. Don't just carry it around. Don't just talk about it. Don't just testify about it. You've got to invest it. And there it is. You're lean and you're poverty stricken and you have not because you will not give it away. You cannot keep it. It's like manna. It gets worms when you carry it over to the next day. It's good for 24 hours. Then it's no good. How many's missed a blessing? You missed a blessing. Next day it had worms in it. You just told God, I'm gonna go do it today, but It had worms in it. Some days you've got to get into business and you've got to put that business first. Amen. If there is a fitness and you have a special talent, If there is a fitness and you're fitted for it, then there is right there a place for a corresponding task. If you can do it, God's got somebody that needs it done. Mom, I think we should have stayed at Allentown and just let these folks have church up here without us. So I don't think I am even getting your attention. That's a bad deal to have a good message and nobody buying it. I haven't even set a price. I'm going to let you in dirt cheap, right at the bottom. You're going to be one of the first in. It's right there. You can invest tonight. It's not going to cost you anything out of your billfold. It's just going to cost you some things out of your heart. Instead of you being first, you've got to come second. Instead of you being self-centered, you've got to care for others. Instead of you being stuck up, you got to get humble. Instead of you wanting everything to come your way, you're going to have to let some things go in order to get better. Amen. For every capacity, there is a fulfillment. We want it. There is. On the other hand, the perfect plan of God. There is for every want a satisfaction. For every evangel, there is an evangelist. For every task, there's a toiler. For every demand, there's a supply. There it is. Do you want to do anything for your church? Can your church survive on the attitude that we got right now? Can we be a building church? Will God lead hurting people to us when we won't do anything for them? We want this revival to continue, but it can't continue on floaters. We want this revival to continue, but it can't continue on folks who just always take in and never give anything back. How about your day? How about that day when you just put everything aside and you take that day to pray for your church and you take that day to say to God, don't let this revival die. I'm going to give you this day. I'm going to pray and seek your face. I want you to bless somebody else. I'm not asking you to bless me. I'm not asking you to answer my prayer or anything else, but that you will send revival to my church that somebody else may be helped. I think sometimes we get so selfish that if it's not floating our boat, we don't care what happens. Is there an Israel in bondage? Then God goes looking for a Moses to lead them out. Is there a Naaman to be healed? How does God supply that need for Naaman? There's a captive maid in his house. She tells him about the man of God in Israel. Naaman gets up and goes to Israel and come back healed. You don't have to be a somebody. He was a great general. She was a captive maid. She had the message. God provoked her. Tell him. Tell him about the prophet. Tell him about the man of God. Tell him about the God of Israel. You don't have to be somebody. You can be a nobody. And God can use you and make somebody out of you. If it hadn't have been for that, she would have never been mentioned in the Bible. If she had not the knowledge of that prophet and the knowledge of her God, she would have never made the Bible. But because she stood up at an important time to make a supply to the need of Naaman, amen, she's in this Bible. I don't know how many times I preached on her that you can be somebody if you'll just get in this business of supply and demand. Is there a Goliath? Then God looks for a David with a cause. And David puts stones in his little bag, and he goes out and he slays the giant. Supply, demand. Hallelujah. Saul of Tarsus has to be changed. Saul of Tarsus has to be transformed into Paul the apostle. So what does he have to do? God says to Ananias, he's praying, Ananias, I want you to go and pray for him. Ananias said, I've heard of him. He said, it don't matter what you've heard. I said, get up and go down to Straight Street and take and pray for him, this Saul of Tarsus, because I'm going to make the apostle Paul out of him. He's got a pen full of ink, and I need him to write. He's got a vision, and I need to bring him up to third heaven so he can see. He's going to suffer a lot of things, but I'm not going to let him die until it's time for his departure. And I tell you, when you get in this business like Paul did, he got in it on the ground floor. And he come out, amen, wheeling and dealing. What he could not change, he had a riot. And when he didn't have a riot, he had revival. They put him in jail. He'd sing his way out. They'd stone him. He'd shake the stones off and get up and go back to preaching. Because he said, my God is able to supply all of your needs by his riches and glory. And Paul had a business to run, and he wasn't going to let the devil close it down. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. And when we learn how to shout again and go out in the world saying, hallelujah, Jesus saved me. And if he saved me, he can save anybody. Hallelujah, the Lord sanctified me. And if he sanctified me, he can sanctify anybody. Hallelujah, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And if he gave me the Holy Ghost, he can give it to anybody. Praise God, he called me to preach. You see, right there it is. The spiritual needs are more than they've ever been. Amen. Back when me and Sister Jenny was real young, in our 20s, seemed like a long time ago, we had our first church, and we used to have prayer meetings in the hog house. They used to raise hogs, and they quit raising hogs, and we used to go into the hog house and have prayer meetings. That's where we learned about supply and demand. Amen. We would go in the hog house and have prayer meetings with a few people, and the Holy Ghost would come in the hog house to do business with us. I learned then that if you have a need, he has the supply. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It was in those early years of my life that the Holy Ghost spoke and said, I will send you from city to city and coast to coast. I never did try to do that on my own. In fact, I never went anywhere. I stayed right with the church I was pastoring. When I left that one and went to the other one, I stayed right with the church that I was pastoring. I didn't try that. But the Holy Ghost, in his supply and demand, there was a demand one day, and he used me to supply it. There was another demand another day. He used me to supply it. And then there was a demand in Virginia, and then in New York, and then in Florida, and then in Georgia, and then in Alabama, then in Tennessee, then in Illinois, and then in Missouri, then in Oklahoma, and then in Texas. And all of a sudden I found out that there was always a need. And no matter how much you think you're worth, you're never going to have enough of your own physical stuff to supply the need. You've got to do business in partnership with the Holy Ghost. But if you'll let the Holy Ghost go into partnership with you, the messages that I preach, the Holy Ghost give them to me. Amen. The way I deliver them, the Holy Ghost, amen, was behind them. And what I do, what I'm in this pulpit, I still tell you that the Holy Ghost is on me, and the Holy Ghost is in me, and the Holy Ghost used me to supply the needs of my people. I tell you, it's a business that's never went out of business and can't go out of business. There's always going to be needs, and there's always got to be supply. It's not a business that's just sporadic. It's everyday stuff. People call. Because why? They want me to supply. I can't supply. I have to turn and ask God. But God said, all right, you tell them this.
or you tell them that, or you pray for them. There's always a way, and God is a way maker. And if you will let Him, God will put you on the business where people will call you and say, I need prayer. I need an answer from God. I need help from God. And that is just a simple supply and demand.
So must inheritors of the blessings and the custodians of truth like Peter be willing to be sent, be willing to speak. You do have a heritage. You do have that great blessing of being custodians of truth. You know, these sermons that you hear preached are truth. This Bible that you read is truth. You are a custodian of truth. And God would like to send somebody to knock on your door at midnight and ask you, have you got any bread? I'm in need. Why did that man go to that house? He knew that he had bread. Amen. Friendship disappeared after a few knocks. It was supply and demand. This man is not going to go away until he gets bread. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. Bless me, sweet Jesus, I pray. Help me. I am getting ready to shut the book and to sit down. But before I do, I'd like to get one or two to be able to believe there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, neither Greek nor Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. We do not live alone. We cannot live alone. We must take into consideration we have storehouses full of provisions, and to hoard them makes us poor. How many know the law of God? Can I get you to quote it with me? Give, and it shall be given you. And that's not only said, shaken down, pressed down, running over. But you first got to give. Christians should always carry a spare smile. Like the one you ought to be having on your face right now while I'm preaching. That one. Wear that tomorrow instead of that holiness. Fortitude that you have to put up with just to put up with holiness. You know, I think that's the reason some folks are so sour. They just have to steel themselves to go out and live holiness. But holiness is easy. If all I had to do was just dress for the occasion, I'd have it made. But I can't just dress for the occasion. I've got to act in the occasion. I've got to come up with something. To him that is given, from him it will be expected.
Right.
He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in that which is much.
Right.
The supply and demand is there. Worldwide, the gospel keeps saying to us, share it, share it, share it. If you don't, you're going to lose it. Amen. How many remember when you first got saved and you had that first love burning that you wanted to tell somebody while you were smiling you got saved? When's the last time you told somebody you got saved? You're saved, sweetly saved, sanctified, filled with heaven's Holy Ghost, on fire, going towards home, happy about it. Huh? It is there. We're going to either lose it or we're going to use it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. You can lose the Holy Ghost. Amen. You'll either evangelize or you'll fossilize. You'll turn into
a fossil. Stone-hearted, stone-mind, cold, indifferent fossil.
Or you can begin to stimulate yourself and say, I really want to do something for God. There was a knock at Peter's door. That's need. Need had come to meet supply. Perhaps tonight there's a knock on your door. Have you enough? Can you do it? Can you meet that need? Need is knocking. And God has no one else in business with him except you. That angel could come and tell him what heaven's thought was, but it couldn't tell him the gospel, because that gospel had been committed to men. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God had commissioned men, and an angel could not preach. So the angel could tell him, I know where the messenger is. I know somebody can preach you a revival. Wouldn't you like for the Spirit of God to drop your name in somebody's heart and say, go look this guy up. He can help you. Amen? Demand and supply. How many would like to go in business with me? I need a few partners, not silent partners. I need vocal partners. I need vocal partners that will get out tomorrow and spread the word. And let's get this 169 back up to 200 where it belongs. We are not going to get it done until somebody starts working. I remember Vance Touchton. I love Brother Vance. He named a boy Ben. He's got a Ben Templeton. Touchton. Ben Templeton. Ben Touchton. And Ben's growing up now. He's got to be a big boy. Brother Vance was in Florida at Arcadia. Brother Vance was asked to preach, and he preached on the message and called it Seven Sons with Empty Guns. Seven sons with empty guns. Talking about the sons of Sceva who went to cast that devil out. Didn't have no power. Seven sons with empty guns. You don't want to be empty. You want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost can handle any problem that comes to you. Any problem. No problem too great. No problem too small. He can handle anything. If he can go in partnership with you. And it can get so good that your shadow can heal the sick. Because he'll work in that sensitive mood with you. Stand with me. Sister Janie, you want to come and sing? Come. Amen. Susie, is that the grandchild that needs to be prayed for? Bring him up. Some of you mothers gather around me. Help me pray for this child. Been having seizures. We want God to heal.